Hey, Pastor McKinney here. Thanks for listening to the CAB Group Leader Podcast. This resource was created to serve and equip our leaders for the sake of their growth groups. Here at CAB, we like to say, healthy leader, healthy group. If the leader is healthy, the group is healthy. When leaders are flourishing, prepared, and equipped, every single person gets the benefits. So let's get to work.
My hope is held in your hand.
Hey, group leaders, Pastor McKinney here. Welcome to week 5 of our fall semester of growth groups, the place where friends help friends follow Jesus. Well, the leaves are changing. I'm looking outside the window and fall is here. Officially, the summer is gone. I love the fall season. Just speaking of the fall and this season of October and the months here, really focus on going deeper in your fellowship, in your group. That's kind of what you're focusing on. And one of the things you could consider doing is possibly planning some sort of fall get-together outside of your normal scheduled location and time, just to further enhance the fellowship and the friendship amongst your group. Because it really is important to do that to in order to enable people to feel comfortable and share deeper things having to do with the gospel and their walk with Jesus. Well, the point of this whole podcast is just to give you a little bit of discussion help. The ultimate goal of these is to equip you with feeling as comfortable as possible to lead a discussion in your group, because that really is the essence of the gathering, is having intentional discussions with people where they can be honest about what the Lord is doing in their lives. Let's see here, a couple announcements and some homework things to keep in mind with the study booklets for in preparation for next week. And just as a reminder, the study booklets are designed to be to help you study the passage before it is actually preached. And so this weekend, Pastor Mike will be preaching on 1 Peter 1, 22 to chapter 2, verse 3. That's pages 20 to 25. Also, announcement, member gathering is October 20th from 12:30 to 2:30. Look forward to seeing you guys there who are currently members and those who will be members soon. Well, you guys can start off with the icebreaker. The icebreaker is just one icebreaker this week. It's called finish the sentence. I came up with a couple of sentences that people in your group can take turns finishing. So the first one says, you know, nobody really likes A, and then they have to fill in the sentence. Sometimes these can be funny, but again, icebreakers are again to remind you the purpose of icebreakers is to help people feel comfortable and to break down some uncomfortable things. Well, let's just jump right in with the questions here. That's really why you're listening to this, is so I can help you with the discussions. The where it says discussing the sermon on the leader guide, it gives you a little script that you can read, and it kind of in the script there when it says say, it gives a little recap of the previous sermon, a brief recap of the previous sermon. It'd be a nice segue into the questions. But as I always say, the first question is always the most basic and open-ended one, asking people just what were their initial impressions and reactions to the sermon. And remember, do not fill in empty space. Just ask the question, be quiet, and let people talk. And if it's quiet for 10 seconds, let it linger. Someone will eventually talk, and that's okay. And always give people permission to sit in silence. If you don't say that out loud, they're going to be uncomfortable and feel weird, because they're not going to know if you're okay with that. The second question has to do with the distinction that Pastor Mike made on imputed and imparted righteousness. And the point of him going into this distinction is because Peter now is going to start leaving big theological truths about your new birth and your living hope and this great salvation in Christ and the gospel. And he's going to transition into giving you actual commands, things to do. Ways you can actually live a holy life as a follower of Jesus. Another way of saying that is he's going to start giving you commands to walk in righteousness. And there's two kinds of righteousness in the Christian life. The imputed righteousness is the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel, what started the Reformation with Martin Luther, was this idea of imputed righteousness. That is, at the moment that someone believes in Jesus, in that instant, the full, entire righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to their spiritual bank account, you might say, so that when God looks at their spiritual bank account and sees how much they are worth spiritually, their net worth, you might say, is equivalent to Christ. And so because of that, he can be totally for you forever, and you can do nothing to have that righteousness taken from you. That happens at the very beginning, the birth of someone's Christian life. But then there's this imparted righteousness, this gradual, progressive. So if God has given you his son's righteousness, that doesn't mean he just kind of leaves you to do whatever you want. He also gives you his spirit to then grow into that righteousness, you might say, to grow progressively in your own practical daily walk with Christ in your holiness and righteousness, empowered by the Spirit of God. So even this, you don't even have anything to boast in because it's the Spirit of God empowering you. So he's going to start getting into that because Peter does give some commands about being holy because God has called you. Who has called you is also holy. But the question is, the distinction between imputed and imparted righteousness was made to help us understand what Peter's practically addressing from here on out in his letter. See definitions to the right. I gave definitions of imputed and imparted righteousness to the right on the page. Why do you think both of these are crucial for helping you faithfully with the Lord? And the whole point of this is kind of just helping you guys flesh out and rehash what are the practical implications of both of these kinds of righteousness and believing them and holding to them both. And if you're kind of stuck on this one, really, the imputed righteousness protects you from ever falling underneath the self-condemnation you may feel for falling short of God's righteousness because you have Christ's. So it protects you from falling into self-condemnation and self-loathing. But imparted righteousness also creates a sense of urgency. There is a realistic expectation and natural flowing from the imputed of this imparted righteousness. God gradually, by his Spirit, begins to impart a true righteousness in you by his Spirit. So it protects you from falling into self-condemnation, but it also protects you from sitting back in your recliner and putting your feet up, spiritually speaking. But it is because it is true that you do need to walk faithfully with the Lord. Number three, third question. One of the major points from the sermon was that our holiness and righteous living does not in any way contribute to our right standing with God. On the other hand, it does contribute to our witness to Christ. In what way? I think there's a typo there, sorry. In what way does your own zeal for personal holiness affect your witness for the gospel? And this whole point here is to help the group drill down to what Pastor Mike's point was in the sermon, which is, you know, your holiness with Jesus is not just about you and Jesus. It's also about a group of people pursuing personal holiness for the sake of witnessing and demonstrating the beauty of the gospel alive in your life. So have people in your group talk about that a bit. Question number four, Peter gives three reasons to pursue holiness and conduct ourselves with fear. You were asked to find them in the study booklets. Share what you found and which of the three reasons personally helps you the most. Explain. This asks you to get into the actual study booklet questions. And the three reasons just to help you were, number one, God calls you to be holy as his Father is the first reason. Number two is that I am drawing a blank here. You can see it in the actual scripture passage yourself. On the resources page, I actually give you a study booklet's help. I actually do the questions myself, but I'm just drawing a blank. But the third one is that you were ransomed with the, not with perishable things, like silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus, that you have been ransomed with infinite price. And that creates a sense of holy fear in us. Wow, God was willing to pay that much for me. How dare I not walk in love and faithfulness to him? But just kind of see which of the three the people in your group find most personally impactful. Question number five, Peter uses an interesting phrase in this passage. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Try to break this down as a group and talk about what this practically looks like and means. That's a really jam-packed phrase. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So really work with your group. Give them some time to think through it and talk through it. But each word, conformed, passions, former ignorance, and how do these all connect and fit together? I could tell you what this phrase means, but I kind of want to just let you guys sort it out for yourselves. But then, not after you figure out what it means as a group, what does it actually looks like? What does it actually look like to listen and walk in this brief phrase here from 1 Peter? Question number 6, in what ways do you find yourself specifically tempted to conform, either to the passions of your former ignorance or the pattern of this world? In Romans 12:2, Romans 12:2 also uses the word conform. Pastor Mike mentioned that verse in the sermon as well. This just kind of gets personal. I encourage people to be very personal here. What ways are they tempted to conform, to just kind of go with the flow of the world, of their heart and their mind, and drawing them away from living holy, distinct, pure people of God to witness to Jesus Christ? And give people time to think about this one. Give people lots of time to think and process this one. And last question, in what way does the grace of Jesus Christ lead you to conform less and remain strong in holiness for the sake of the church's witness? This just, again, gets us back to the gospel. How does the gospel help us actually do what Peter is telling us to do for the sake of witnessing to the gospel? Always be sure to leave yourself plenty of time to pray. Remember, it's never wrong to end the group a little bit early. I've been doing a poor job of that. But just one last thing is, sometimes the things in a group comes up where someone brings up a really intense topic or a personal issue and they have to work through it. This happened last week. A brother in the Lord just brought in a really tough thing they've been struggling with, and we just talked about that the whole time, and that's totally okay for you guys to do that. Just trust the Spirit. Love you guys. Praying for you. Reach out to to me or any other group leader if you need help or prayer, but trust the Spirit. Upon this rock, I'll stand. Upon this rock, I'll